As I prepared something to speak about this evening and went over, it seemed like that it ran in three or four different directions. I hope I'm not like the fellow that jumped all on his horse and rode off in all directions, but maybe I will be a little bit. But I've got some. It seemed like as I looked up one thing, it kept leading me back towards some other things also. But I want to start in Ether this evening and read a few verses. I'm going to start with the fourth chapter in Ether, and I'm going to start with in the 111th verse. And it came to pass that Coriantor dwelt in captivity all of his days. And in the days of Coriantor there also came many prophets and prophesied of great and marvelous things, and cried repentance unto the people, that except they would repent, the Lord God would execute judgment against them to their utter destruction. Now it seems like a people that had the background that they had and the knowledge that they surely had, that they would have heeded these words, but they just would not. And as I look at these things, I kind of compare them to many other dispensations of time and right down to our day. And they were promised what was going to happen to them, and we know as we go through history it did happen. And that the Lord God would send or bring forth another people to possess the land by his power after the manner which he brought their fathers. And we know this very thing happened. These people were destroyed. Then the Nephites came, and in a sense, they were practically, well, they weren't, well, the Nephites, I guess, were destroyed. The Lamanites were left. And then another people came and possessed this land. And they did reject all the words of the prophets because of their secret society and their wicked abominations. And it came to pass that Coriantor begat Ether, and he died, having dwelt in captivity all of his days. During this time of his life, when the gospel was preached, the people would not hear it. Yet he was in captivity all of his life. Now, how much freedom they had, I'm not sure. We studied this recently in our Wednesday night service, and apparently they had a considerable freedom, maybe like the prior to the Exodus out of Egypt. But they were not able, the prophets weren't able to convert very many people. And it came to pass that in the days of Ether, were in the days of Coriantumr, and Coriantumr was king over all of the land. And Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people. For he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from the morning even unto the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Now I kind of want to go over here and read a few verses out of Helaman in the fifth chapter. And then I want to come back to this in a little bit. I want to read in the fifth chapter. I want to begin with the first verse. And times don't change a whole lot. Or I mean, the time may change, but there seem to be the same type of situations, and they seem to be handled about the same way. So things kind of go around in a circle. And this is the prophecy of Samuel the Lamanite to the Nephites. And now it came to pass in the 86th year, the Nephites did still remain in wickedness, yea, in great wickedness. While the Lamanites did observe strictly to obey the commandments of God according to the law of Moses. Now this is a kind of reverse thing. Instead of the Nephites being righteous and the Lamanites being unrighteous, this was reversed. And here Samuel, a Lamanite, was preaching to the Nephites, trying to tell them what to do. And it came to pass that in this year there was one Samuel, a Lamanite, came unto the land of Zarahemla and began to preach unto the people. And it came to pass that he did preach many days repentance unto the people, and they did cast him out, and he was about to return unto his own land. But behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him that he should return again and prophesy unto the people whatsoever things should come into his heart. And it came to pass that they would not suffer that he should enter into the city. Therefore he went and got upon the wall thereof, and stretched forth his hand, and cried with a loud voice, and prophesied unto the people whatsoever things the Lord put into his heart. And he said unto them, Behold, I, Samuel Lamanite, do speak the words of the Lord, which he doth put into my heart. And behold, he hath put into my heart to say unto this people, that the sword of justice hanging over this people, and 400 years passeth not away, save the sword of justice fall upon this people. Yea, heavy destruction awaiteth this people, and it surely cometh unto this people. And nothing can save this people, save it be repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, who surely shall come into the world, and suffer, and shall suffer many things, and shall be slain for his people. And behold, an angel of the Lord hath declared it unto me, and he did bring glad tidings to my soul. And behold, I was sent unto you to declare it unto you also, that ye might that ye might have glad tidings. But behold, ye would not receive me. Now here these people was being told these things, but they wouldn't receive it. They was against whatever he might say to them. I want to go over here a little farther in this same chapter, over to the 110th verse. And as many as did believe on his words went forth and sought, and as many as believed on his words went forth and sought for Nephi. And when they had come forth and found him, they confessed unto him their sins, and denied not, desiring that they might be baptized unto the Lord. But as many as there were did not believe in the words of Samuel, were angry with him, and cast stones at him upon the wall. And also many shot arrows at him as he stood upon the wall. Now this would take quite a bit of nerve to be up on this wall and people are starting to throw rocks at you and shoot arrows at you. That's a pretty serious thing. But the Spirit of the Lord was with him, insomuch that they could not hit him with their stones, neither with their arrows. And now when they saw that they could not hit him, there were many more who did believe on his name, insomuch that they went away unto Nephi and were to Nephi to be baptized. Now some of the people, when they seen what was happening, they realized it was the power of the Lord. Now they went away to be baptized. But I'm just thinking of how strong he must have been to walk upon that wall and stay there. Now, he had to have a lot of faith and a lot of belief in the Lord. And I'm sure that the Lord made it known unto him that he was going to protect him as he went up there and preached to the people. I want to go over here, back over here into Ether again and read some verses. Beginning again here at the fourth verse in the fifth chapter. Wherefore, whosoever believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the soul of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, and they did not believe because they saw it not, or saw them not. Now, we hear this today, and we know it's a fact that people, unless they see something, they're not going to believe it. They always want a sign. I'm afraid when the time comes when they get the sign, it'll be too late for them to have the faith and to work toward salvation. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat according to these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. And we know we can read this in Helaman and in other places in the scripture, telling us basically the same thing. Wherefore dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world, but because of the faith of men he showed himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. And we know faith and hope and charity, all of these things are run pretty close together. Wherefore ye must also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore he showed not himself until after their faith. But behold, it was by faith that Alma and Amulek that caused the prison to tremble to the earth. Behold, it was by faith that Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And behold, it was the faith of Ammon and his brethren, which wrought so great a miracle upon the Lamanites, yea, and even all those who wrought miracles wrought them by faith, even those who were before Christ and also them who were after. Showing here that faith is a very important thing. And I really didn't start to, as I prepared to talk, I didn't intend to speak on faith. But sometimes these things come in and it's oftentimes hard to preach the gospel without bringing in faith or hope or charity or some of these wonderful things. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death, and they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And we remember the story that they wanted to remain upon this earth until he came again, and we know that it was granted unto them. Had they not had strong faith and a great desire, this wouldn't have happened. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore, they first believed in the Son of God. And there were many whose faith was so exceeding strong, even before Christ came, who could not be kept within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with the eye of faith, and they were glad. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared, for so great was his faith in God that when he put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared because of his word. Brother, because of his word which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. And after the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord, because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by faith, the Lord could not withhold anything from his sight. Therefore, he showed him all things from the for he could no longer be kept without the veil. I really can't imagine all that he saw. I don't know how a person could see all those things at that time and not totally be overcome. He's seen the destruction likely of his people, the crucifixion of Christ down through our time. In a moment of time, he could see all of these things. And that would be a quite an experience. I don't know whether the average person could even stand it to see, looking clear to the end at this time even. But here he was shown all of these things. And it was because he was very strong and an upright and righteous person. And it mentioned that other people had seen many great things, but none of them until they had faith. I want to go over to Moroni in the 7th chapter. I'm going to begin here with the 36th verse. And he said, "Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved." And we know that this is the truth. Harvey read some similar words to this morning. But we also know here, as it says, that ye may be saved. Now, a person has got to do a little more than just believe. You've got to take action. You've got to work at it. It's not going to be just given to you for admitting that you believe all these things and then hope that you're going to have a free ride to the end. You're not going to. You're going to have to work continually. I want to go over here to the 45th verse here for a little further reading. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and through the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man has faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And I think that all of us are quite aware of this, that unless we put the two together, they're not going to work. You've got to have the full picture. I want to go over to Mosiah, the 7th chapter. Now, beginning with the 45th verse. And it came to pass that after the space of 2 years, that Abinadi came among them in disguise. Now he was a minister of, or a prophet of the Lord, but they didn't want to have much to do with him, like many other times in the scripture, like the ministers that went forth to preach unto the people, and here he was cast. They threw rocks at him and shot arrows at him. They didn't want to have much to do with him, and here he had to come back in disguise, that they knew him not. And he began to prophesy among them, saying, "Thus hath the Lord commanded me, saying, Abinadi, go and prophesy unto this my people, for they have hardened their hearts against my words. They have repented not of their evil doings. Therefore I will visit them in my anger. Yea, in my fierce anger will I visit them in their iniquities and abominations. Yea, woe be unto this generation. For the Lord said unto me, Stretch forth thy hand and prophesy, saying, Thus saith the Lord, It shall come to pass that this generation, because of their iniquity, shall be brought into bondage, and shall be smitten on the cheek, yea, and shall be driven by men, and shall be slain, and the vultures of the air, and the dogs, yea, and the wild beast shall devour their flesh." Now that's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of destruction, and this is going to be the thing that is to fall upon them. And it's not a whole lot different than that right today. The people are headed in the same direction for the same thing to happen to them, because they will not seek out the Lord and seek out a happier life, actually, and a more joyous time. But they will not. The people are going to turn away from the Lord, as they did here, and sooner or later the Lord will bring his anger upon them and his destruction. And it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued even as a garment in a hot furnace, for he shall know that I am the Lord. And it shall come to pass that I will smite this my people with sore afflictions. Now he's talking about his people. He's not talking about somebody else, but these are his people. And he's going to smite them because they are not keeping the commandments and walking upright before him. Yea, with famine and with pestilence, and I will cause that they shall howl all the day long. Yea, and I will cause that they shall have burdens lashed upon their backs. Hail among them, and it shall smite them, and they shall also be smitten with the east wind and with insects, and insects shall pester their land also and devour their grain. Now we know that in the last days this is promised too. These things are not just a one-time thing. When the people become unrighteous, the Lord is going to try to use some method to bring them unto repentance. Sometimes it's from famine. Sometimes here he's going to use the insects. And according to the gospel, I didn't look it up, but we read it several times exactly where it was at. But we know that his promise is going to happen again. And they shall be smitten with great pestilence. And all this will I do because of the iniquities and the their abominations. So things don't change a whole lot. Things that happened, this showed here about 150 years before Christ. And if we go over to the back of the Book of Mormon here, we know that it's happened a good many hundred years after Christ. We could go back here in the time of Ether, and that was over 600 years before Christ. I'm not sure how many, but it was a good many years, probably over 600 years before Christ. And we know these things are going to happen again if people don't seek out the Lord and repent and follow after him. I want to read a little bit out of Revelations here. And here we notice that there would be hail and destruction. And I myself have never seen real big hail. In one year we did see it when it destroyed our fruit crop pretty well. And the hail, I don't think there's any bigger than that. And we know people talk about hail as big as baseballs. And that would be a pretty serious plague. And we know that it's promised that it'll even be worse than that. And here in Revelations in the 16th chapter, I'm going to begin with the 17th verse. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, just stop there just a minute. That's yet to come, isn't it? And can you imagine the earthquake that was upon this land when Christ was crucified? And here it says, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since man were upon the earth. Now that is going to be quite something. I guess that's going to happen before the end of time, isn't it? So we've got something that I don't know whether to look forward or not, but to be aware of it. Pray that we might be spared some of the damage and destruction from it is all we can do. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fornication of his wrath. And every island fled away, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And I forget how much a talent is, but I think it's maybe around 15 pounds. And I recall hearing on the TV the other day where two skydivers were falling out of the sky, and they were pitching a pumpkin between each other, and one of them missed it, and it landed in a lady's kitchen after it came through the roof, and she wasn't very happy about it. And I don't know how big the pumpkin was, but imagine if you had 200 or 300 hailstones of 15 pounds each, that it would come through putting her anything. So we've got something that I don't say it's to look forward to, be but to surely be aware of. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, do you notice here that the people didn't turn to God, did they? Now, once in a while, when there was a great plague came on the people, they would turn to God. We know at the end of the Book of Mormon, when we read about the destruction, those people did not turn to the Lord. They become more bitter and day by day and stood there to totally destroy each other. The same as in the Book of Ether. They done the same thing. They did not learn from their experience. They became more bitter day by day and destroyed each other. And here, these people are doing the same thing. They didn't turn to God. They blasphemed Him. They were mad. They didn't realize that if they turned to the Lord and prayed and sought repentance, that He could turn these things from them. But they didn't turn that way. And this happened so often. If they would have had a little bit of faith and wisdom and discernment, they could have avoided a lot of those things. I want to go over to Jacob here for a few verses. In the second chapter, in the 48th verse, "But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind, and pray unto Him with exceeding faith." Now, why wouldn't people do that instead of starting to blaspheme Him? "And He will console you in your afflictions, and He will plead your cause, and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction." He's offering them quite a bit of protection there, isn't he? That's what you've got to do instead of turning from Him. And all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God, and feast upon His love, for ye may, if your minds are firm forever. Now that's the thing that we want. We don't want this type of thing where people are going to have the hailstones falling on them and them blaspheming God. But we know the nature of people also. I want to go back into James a little bit. I often think of how short a book James really is and how much is told to us in these few verses that is in this book. In the second chapter, I'm going to begin with the 17th verse. Again, telling us a few things here. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Now, you know, this is contrary to a lot of beliefs in the world today. But it says here, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." If a person has really faith and proving it, he has got to live according to these words. He's got to keep the commandments. He's got to be humble, meek. All of those wonderful things that makes people so happy. In the 19th verse, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." See, the devil has faith that there's a God. And I'm sure he has faith that there's going to be a time of judgment. He knows these things, but his work his faith isn't going to do him much good because he hasn't got any works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Pretty well proving it here, isn't it? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? And I'm sure that we're aware of these things. We've got to have these works to go with it. We've got to prove to God through our works that we have this faith. I want to go to 2 Nephi here for just a verse in the 11th chapter. Verse 145. For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am a God. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I will not, and I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. He says he doesn't change. He's not going to do these things for us unless we have faith. But if we have this faith, it's not going to be long until we see that we have events happening in our lives that's going to make us happier. I want to go over to 1 Timothy for a few verses here. Beginning 1 Timothy, first chapter, I'll begin with the third verse here. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Nevertheless, give heed to fables, and neither give heed to fables nor endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edification, edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherefore they affirm. Now I'll assure you, as Samuel the Lamanite stood on the wall and preached to the people, he knew where he affirmed, and he knew what he spoke to the people, and he was assured of it, as well as Ether or many of the others. But they, each one, had to have a great faith, and they had to have charity, and they had to have love and compassion and all of these things. And wherever we go in the scripture, it basically tells us these same things. It tells us a lot of things not to do, but we know if you have those few things, that great faith, and if you have charity, and if you have love, and you seek after the Lord, that these other things aren't going to abound amongst you. If you have charity for people, you're not going to hurt them. And if you have great faith, you're going to be directed in what you should do. And if we don't have these things, we can fall aside and be lost. But if we do seek after the Lord and desire these things and then practice them, we know that our lives are going to be blessed right here and with a great amount of happiness, and also that we're going to be able to enjoy that eternal life that's promised unto us.